30, 20, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ignition sequence start. This is just the beginning.
Are you ready?
Here comes the best part.
1, 2, 3.
Go. Life Matters, a five-time winner of the best morning show in Wisconsin. Hosted by Nancy Douglas and Tom Giovannone.
All of you, get ready.
Life Matters begins on Lake 96.1.
Welcome to Life Matters.
Good morning.
Good morning. Nice try.
Yeah.
Nice haircut.
Thanks. Got all of them cut this time.
I saw that.
Hey, that's my job.
Jokes. Jokes is all about you. Good morning, Jackson.
Good morning.
So I picked Jackson up this morning. I drove by his school, and he's going to go to Randall, right?
Yeah, Randall School.
And they are doing a huge construction update.
They're putting on the Jackson wing?
They are.
You can have your own wing. How cool
Name
is that?
Name it after Jackson. So Jackson's new school, he's going to go to Randall and become famous.
Making a chamber for me.
Just
get call the holding cell.
Right. So he's going to become just as famous there as he did at his school up in Elkhorn.
I'm sure he will.
Right. And so, but I have not seen so much activity as I have in the last week or so driving by there. Well, and so they're really hammering on it to
I
get
bet
it done before school starts.
They're
yeah
getting close to running out of time.
I bet they are. And I'm sure the weather here and there didn't help them.
Oh, God. Put them I couldn't imagine doing construction with all that rain.
Yeah. So, but it's looking great. Like it's got a new front area and the front parking is going to be all new and stuff. It looks
it's nice
great
to know that they fixed it just for me.
Yes.
For me.
I feel like they did.
And like the three other kids that are probably just joining the school.
Right. So how's soccer?
Pretty good. It's fine. I mean, I was the only one that got a goal.
Aw.
Just by luck.
Well.
Sometimes that's all you need.
You could call it skill. We'll never know. But so do you play a certain position?
No, there's not enough people to do that.
Okay.
There's like eight people.
That's all? How do you play soccer with only eight?
There
How
was
supposed
originally,
to be?
There was originally like 15 people who were going to come, but they were like, yeah, no, peace. And just
why?
Left. I don't know.
My brother's a big soccer player.
Yeah, you told me this. Mm-hmm. You and your brother, your brother and your father would go on the phone whenever there was a soccer game on and go, goal, every time there's a
yeah
call.
Yeah. My brother texts me now every once in a while when there's a soccer game on and tries to get me to watch it. And I'm like, I'm not your dad. We're orphans now, remember? My dad passed away, so. Yeah,
I don't think that makes you an orphan, but
when my dad was alive and my mom had just passed away, I said my dad and my brother and sister were orphans because mom left us.
No, I can see that.
He did not disagree. He was like, I know, like she left. Anyway, so you have jokes this morning.
Yeah, I do.
Sweet, because that's what you're here for.
Yup.
Yup.
We're starting now. Good. All right.
What did the girl firefly say to the other girl firefly?
You light up my life.
Oh, that's got to be close. I would say that would be the answer if it was the boy saying it to the girl.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, and that's lightning bugs. Oh, fireflies. That's right. I was thinking dragonflies.
Same thing.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
See,
what's the answer?
You should really tell us the answer.
You glow, girl.
Oh, God. Yeah, I never could have answered that. Even if he gave me the answer, I couldn't have done it right.
I think it's more like this. You glow, girl.
Oh, God.
Is that better?
Yes.
Oh, it's going to be a rough day.
It is.
What did the tree say to the wind?
You blow me away.
That's really good, but no.
The trees say to the wind, I don't know.
Leave me alone.
I was thinking that. And I went, no, that's not going to be it. That's a good one.
Well, was it?
I'm Leave down. Me alone. You're done now? All right, get
Leave
up.
Leave me alone.
You
no
got more?
No. I got more. How does the moon cut his hair?
How does the moon cut his hair?
Let's see.
By starlight? I don't know.
Jeez, it's early. What? Because I have nothing registering in my head, which is going to be good for the rest of the show, right? Yeah.
It'll What's be the fun. Answer?
He eclipse it.
Oh, eclipse it.
God.
Eclipse it.
Why did Johnny throw the clock out of the window?
He wanted to see time fly.
No.
We get 2 points for that.
That's right.
What do you mean you get?
We
two
both
points?
Answered both it correctly it. At the
you get
same
one
time.
One point.
I think
Pinch
we get
poke,
two.
Poke, you owe us both a Coke.
I think we get
okay,
two.
Okay, but not a point.
It's two.
Two.
Nuh-uh.
He's
one.
Not even keeping score. I am, so it's
That's
10.
Right. Only when we get them right do we keep
right,
score.
Yeah.
What do you call a fish without an eye? Oh, you guys have to know this one.
What do you call a fish without an eye?
Yeah. Yep. Make it 11.
That's how many players you need on a soccer team.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Nice. That's called the brick joke. Anyway, long story.
What, does it get thrown at you?
A brick joke. No,
yeah,
it's a long story.
Does it get thrown at you? What does bread do on vacation?
What does bread do on vacation?
He loafs around.
Oh.
Nice.
Oh, 20
Killing
points.
It today.
How's that 20 points?
I don't know.
Because
nobody
it was
said
good.
Said there'd 12. Be math.
It's yeah. 12.
Okay, whatever.
She was all lined up for that one.
It's not 20 points.
It's not a math show. It could be.
Don't. No. I'm not good at math.
What kind of vegetable? Well, I already said that joke. Hold on. What's a computer's favorite snack?
Megabytes. Many bytes. Something bytes. Something. Chips. Something chips. Computer chips.
God bless the world.
How do you know? Why?
I knew it.
It took me a while.
Yeah, no, you did great.
Chips, bites, something.
Yeah, I
see, I was
megabytes.
Just saying what normally goes on quietly in my head that time, so. Yeah.
I don't think you said
everything.
Okay,
well, this is the last joke. This is the last joke.
Okay, this is the last one he's got.
How do squids get to school?
Ooh, I'm not going to get this one. How does squids get to school? They follow the fsh. I don't know.
They take an octopus.
Oh.
Octopus. Get it? Get it?
Yeah. Got it.
That was good, but I still like fsh better.
I do too.
Oh,
or watching
Jackson.
Time fly. That's fun.
You crack me up. Yeah, they watch time fly. Jackson, you crack me up. We always like it when you bring us a smile on a early Sunday morning.
Thank you.
Jesus. Oh, Greg from Stackstone Wealth is coming up in our next segment. He is, I don't know what he's going to talk about. Hopefully how to hold on to our money.
That would be
or
nice.
Or make more money
Making
in this
more
economy.
Good.
That'd be great. Yeah. Yeah, we definitely need some insight from him.
Right.
Because things are changing quickly, too.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about that a little bit at the end of the show.
Going to be an informed morning.
Yes. Well, it's going to be an informed morning, and it's going to be an interesting morning. I'm going to talk a little bit about, at the end of the show, I'm going to talk a little bit about gaslighting and remind people what that means,
mm-hmm.
what the definition of gaslighting is.
All right.
And how many examples can we come up with? And we're just, we could even just say, how many examples can we come up with in the last 10 days?
Okay, I was going to say yesterday or?
Right.
Yeah.
In the last hour. But we'll give it a little bit more.
Yeah.
So, Jackson, thanks for joining us again this morning.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right. Yeah. Somebody help us. Greg from Stacks on Wealth, he's going to help us. That's coming up next on Life Matters right here on Lake 96.1.
Jackson Jokes!
Life Matters continues on Lake 96.1.
Nice try. Again.
Never going to give up.
Greg joins us from Stackstone Wealth Management. Sir, how are you today?
Doing well this morning, Nancy and Tom. Thank you for having me, and
of
hope you're having a good morning.
Of course. So we talked a little bit during the commercial break about some different things. Everybody always comes in, and I say, well, what are we going to talk about today? And they're always like, whatever you want. And I said, great, except that I have no idea what kind of trends or what kind of warnings or what kind of things you see people wanting to hear or wanting to information about or whatever. So, but my first question is, and we talked a little bit about this off the air. You know, we have a horrific political atmosphere right now. And I'm just wondering, when people ask you for advice or they want to make changes to what they've invested in or how they've invested, do you see a lot of changes based on the political atmosphere, you know, similar to what we're having right now, where it's just so contentious and just everybody is just so like fearful or overconfident or whatever? Like, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of middle ground in a lot of categories in this country right
Definitely
now.
Definitely extreme.
Right. And so, but do you see people's thought process or their goals and things like that change during a presidential election cycle?
I see people's thought processes change and their emotional expressions change, but not their goals.
Mm-hmm.
Their goals are always going to be what their goals are.
Right.
And those goals are
Money.
Unique to them.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to politics, I just try to remove all the emotion and be as objective as possible and just look at facts like what's likely to happen with tax code change. You know, the Tax Cut and Job Act back in 2017 actually has sunset provisions in it that end on December 31st of next year, 2025.
Mm-hmm.
And so the tax brackets are supposed to go up. The taxes on estate transfer are set to go up on January 1st, 2026. And so those are the things I try to focus on, the facts that we can really prepare for and try to remove emotion out of it, just going off of history, looking at all the election cycles. Whichever party wins the presidential election, and I have my own opinions about how important presidential elections are.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to think that congressional elections for the House and Senate are more important because that's where policy is written and passed and implemented and actually impacts our lives in a real way, potentially. I just try to remove all the emotion and chaos and all the circus atmosphere of the political realm for my clients and just try to get them to focus on taxes, your personal goals for yourself, your family, the financial facts of your situation in life and your situational needs. And let's build and plan and strategize around those things that we know are going to be there and know are part of your life.
I'm just curious, like what do you say to a client that comes in and says, I know I have, you know, I own X amount of shares of this particular stock, and I know that they just donated to the political party that I completely do not want anything to do with. Get me out of that. I don't want my money invested anywhere near somebody like that. What do you say to people? Because that really doesn't have anything to do with the performance of your portfolio.
That's right. Ultimately, you know, a client's money is a client's money. We're here to provide information. We're here to provide guidance and some recommendations and information to equip and empower the client to make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you don't like that this company donated to that campaign or that party or that organization, or that they stand for this cause that you don't agree with or are not aligned with. But will we provide information on this company's current business model, their profitability, their growth potential and business prospects moving forward? And we might say, hey, maybe you have too much of it and we should pare back. And if you don't like them, okay, it's a win-win.
Right.
We're paring back a position that's too concentrated. And at the same time, you don't really care to be that exposed to that particular company. Then there's also the conversation that goes around, hey, how long have you owned this company? What are the unrealized gains?
Mm-hmm.
And if we sell out of it, how much are we going to pay in tax? And does that make sense?
Right.
So we try to just equip the client with all of that information, every fact from every angle, so that they can make that ultimate end decision. We don't want to make that decision for them. Just equip them with all the knowledge and information and wisdom that helps them make the right decision for them.
Right, right. I mean, because I can see, well, so my dad's investment guy, when we were having this conversation after my dad passed away about different things, he said, your dad was a headline reader. And every once in a while, I'd get a phone call. And that's what he would do. He'd say, I want nothing to do with this particular get me out of it. Don't, you know, because he didn't pay necessarily attention to, like you said, the back information, that, you know, the behind the scenes, which is not actually behind the scenes, which is exactly what you're investing, you know, that's exactly what you're investing in. And he said, so, you know, read the rest of the story or ask me questions or whatever before you make decisions. And because he said, he would call and say, no, I want nothing to do with these guys. They, you know, get me out of this, put it in something else, whatever. You have to avoid that. Now, don't get me wrong. My dad wasn't wrong on a lot of it. So, you know, and he did make moves that were better for him. And, you know, again, like you said, it has more to do with your goals, right? I mean, everybody's goal is make more money. Isn't that everybody's goal that does any kind of business with you?
Everybody's goal is to ultimately make more money, to do better with us, hopefully, than anywhere else they could go. That's what they're hoping for. And, you know, just from my experience in the business, it's very rare for a client to come to me and say, I don't like this position, I want to sell it. It's usually me coming to them saying, it's time to pare back out of this position, or it's time to sell this position. We have better opportunities around us to allocate that resource, to allocate that amount of assets we have in your portfolio.
Right.
So it's usually an experience where I'm being proactive, as opposed to a client coming to me and making me aware of something bad going on with an investment.
And it's not even necessarily that it's bad. He just disagreed with it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
You know, but
you'd think you'd listen to the expert.
Well, but
because I have opinions on a lot of things, it doesn't mean I know what I'm talking about.
Right. But it's also like Greg said, it's your money. So and that's what, you know, my guy would say. It's just like, well, it was his money. So, you know, we would give him all the information. But ultimately, it's still your decision on what you want to do. So,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm getting the thrown into the fire education on it. Like, I should have talked to Greg a long time ago, because I, you know, it was just kind of, obviously, it just kind of happened suddenly. And then we're like, whoa, oh, okay. Now we have to deal with this. And, you know, and he did the best he could to avoid for us, you know, avoid the biggest tax burden, because that was another thing is, and I'm sure that that's common in every one of your clients, is they also do not want to pay taxes on the money that they've already earned and invested.
Right.
So, you know, and pay taxes on. So, you know, but so these days, what kind of concerns or what kind of rewards are you seeing your clients come to you with and experiencing, as far as, you know, the economy is questionable, you know, the housing market is crazy, that, you know, what are people coming to you with and asking about?
The number one concerns, I would say there's two number one concerns. Mm-hmm. They're equal. Inflation and taxes. Everyone's concerned about what the tax environment's going to look like in the future. Everybody knows that we have these crazy, unsustainable annual deficits at the federal level and at most state levels and a lot of municipal levels. And that's concerning. And then everybody's concerned about just overall inflation. How much, you know, we saw in that debate, that crazy debate between Trump and Biden, where Biden was talking about inflation being up 30% over the past 4 years. And my wife and I, we joke about that and say there is no way our expenses have gone up 30%. It's way beyond that.
Yeah.
And that's what I hear from all of my friends, acquaintances, yeah. clients. Nobody is saying, oh, yeah, my expenses have gone up 30%. And then when you look at the actual, you know, statistics, it shows that over the past 4 years that the average family's expenses have gone up about $28,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at average incomes and compare that to average expenses 5 years ago, that rate of increase is far beyond 30%.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And it's also very situational. Your inflation rate may be very different than your next door neighbor's. If you bought your dream house in 2018, you bought it at a really low price with a very low interest rate.
Right.
If you're looking to buy your dream house now, you're buying it at a price 50, 60% higher at an interest rate triple of what it was back then.
Mm-hmm.
So your inflation rate is very different than that person's inflation rate. So it can be very case by case, but really the two pain points for pretty much everybody are inflation and then taxes.
Right. Because nobody's pay goes up. The amount.
Not at that rate.
That the prices are going up.
Yeah.
And they can't.
No.
Like, they can't. Like, I cannot afford as a company, because if I inflicted that increase on my customers, I would lose all my customers. So then I have no business.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot pass that along. It's just a horrible, vicious circle right now.
Right, because it goes up here, it goes up all around.
Right, right. And people are laying blame on a lot of things and issues that don't have anything to do with the reasons why prices are going up. You know, like they say, oh, these companies are making jillions and jillions of dollars. They're not. They're not. I mean, they might be, but they're not making any more. It's not like they're taking advantage of customers and clients. They're not. That's not how this is working. It's their costs of doing business. And people who don't run or own businesses don't get that. And so, you know, what do you say? But on a whole nother level, what do you say to the retirees, right, whose income for sure does not go up? Social Security doesn't
fixed.
Go up. Yeah, right. That are on the fixed incomes that are looking to cover the difference just so they can simply live with what they have invested with you.
Yes, I think one of the issues that seniors face who are in, you know, retirement and fixed income phase of their lives is that even though you get this cost of living adjustment on Social Security every year, it's matched or slightly exceeded by the increased expenses in healthcare.
Right.
So that's what really fixes
right.
their income. You know, even though their you know, top line income goes up from Social Security benefits, or, you know, if you have a pension as a public employee, that goes up, your healthcare expenses and all these other expenses in your life are going up. Inflation is really a tax.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the government is printing a lot of money, they're increasing the money supply, it creates inflation, and essentially that's just a tax that's passed on to you, the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
And seniors are really, you know, they really struggle. Hopefully, if you're a senior who's retired, you've already, you know, paid off your mortgage, or you're very close to paying it off. And that's something that really helps keep those costs down. But it's also very geographical. Do you live in an area where home prices have increased dramatically and there's high property taxes and there are frequent reassessments of property taxes? That is a really significant factor. You know, you talk to, you know, a lot of people living in the Chicago area who didn't have a property tax reassessment for 5, 6, 7 years. And all of a sudden, they're getting a new property tax assessment in this fiscal year where they're paying an extra $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 just for their property tax.
Whoa.
And they're, all this other inflation in their life has squeezed their cash flow margins for their household budgets.
Right.
And then Cook County comes to you one day with a letter saying you owe an extra $7,000 this year and every year moving forward for an unforeseen period of time in your property tax. And people are like, wow, I'm putting away only $500 a month in savings. That's going to be zero now.
Right. Right.
So what do you do? And what you really have to do is you have to, you know, get out ahead of this stuff and plan throughout your adult life. And it's never too late. You know, whether you're starting at 25 years old, which is ideal,
mm-hmm.
or you're starting at 65 years old, starting at some point eventually is the way to go. Because if you don't have any sort of plan in place that, you know, accounts for these variables and accounts for these factors that tend to be unforeseen by most people, you're going to be blindsided. You're going to be unprepared. You're probably not going to have your assets invested in a way that support this growing expense paradigm of inflation and taxes. And so that puts people in a really tough spot. And I think a lot of people, the answer has been to move to a cheaper location. People leave.
If you can find one.
Yeah, if you can find one. You have to, you know, nowadays, I think the old joke that I'm seeing from Montana farmers, all these people moved to Montana in the 90s, thought they were getting away from civilization. COVID happens, and then all these wealthy people from California start moving to Montana and domiciling there. And then those people are now getting these crazy property tax reassessments where they were paying $600 a year in property tax. Mm-hmm. Now they get an assessment. Now they're going to pay $8,000 a year. And all of a sudden, you know, goods and services start becoming more expensive. And because the population's growing faster than the supplies to provide to that population.
Right.
And it's just, where do you go to get away from it? There's not always the best answer for that. I'm not the overall real estate coach for people, but that's one of the ways people have combated rising costs in more urbanized areas is to move to a more rural area or a lower tax state. But that only lasts so long.
Well, that's really super difficult right now because nothing is available.
No.
Nothing's available. It's too expensive.
Right.
What is available, it's too expensive to build. Like people, and people don't realize the effect. Like you say, you know, the average $28,000 a year, okay? But you're getting nickeled and dimed to death and you don't realize how much. Like if you sat and made a spreadsheet every single month for a year on, you know, what your stuff was in January as opposed to what your stuff cost in December, you'd be stunned at the difference any given year, probably, but especially last couple of years, last however many years, 3.5, I'm going to say. So, sorry. But
you're spot on.
I mean, but people don't realize how much more they're paying. They just see little by little by little, they just have less and less every month. And it's astounding. Where are they coming up with it? Well, credit card debt is what, the highest it's ever been, I think, or very close to it. Yeah. I mean, there's no, you know, your house, you can't borrow against your house because, you know, there's issues with the property values and loans and interest rates.
Would you even want to right now?
Right. And so, like, what do you even do? You know, I mean, you're lucky if you have been smart and you've called somebody like Greg and you've got some options because that's what you're able to give people, right? Is some options, but you have to start early.
Yeah, you just need to get everything written down and organized. One thing that I find all the time is that people do not realize all these crazy excessive bills that they're paying. You know, 40 years ago, nobody was paying for cable.
Right.
Nobody was paying for internet. Nobody was paying a cell phone bill. No one was paying for streaming services. Healthcare was affordable and you didn't have all these little, you know, supplemental healthcare expenses and plans that you had to. There are so many bills people have today. They just lose track of them and they just say, well, as long as my bank account doesn't go to zero, I'm all right. Because it's just so much to keep track of now.
Right.
And so if you actually sit down and budget out every single bill you have, you'll find typically hundreds of dollars that, you know, you may not want to get rid of, but you just don't get a lot of value out of it. And so you can get rid of some of these things. That's one thing a lot of seniors will do. And I recommend taking a look at that, sitting down either with yourself, your spouse, a friend, a financial advisor, somebody, and putting pen to paper, looking at your monthly credit card bills, looking at your monthly bank statements, the money going in, the money coming out. What are you spending your money on? Is there a bunch of fat in there that we can cut out of this? Because if we can cut out $200-$400 a month of just nonsense, stuff that you just do not need at all. Or we can even make little adjustments like, okay, you want to go on a vacation. How much is that vacation? Okay, $7,000. Can we go on a vacation that you would be equally pleased with for $5,000 and save a couple grand?
Right.
It's things like that that I think people don't realize are easier to make adjustments with than they really think it is. I think it overwhelms people mm-hmm. when they look at how many transactions take place in their lives, and they get overwhelmed by it. Oh, what am I going to do with this monolithic, difficult thing to deal with? But
well, and you're right, because look at how many more transactions are on your bank statement now, okay? However many years ago, we're not paying with debit cards. We're only using credit cards for those big purchases, and many, many people just paid it off right away.
Right.
And now you go to the coffee place and there's $8 out of your account. And then you go to, you know, the grocery store and you just need dog food. So there's another $20 out of your account. But it's, and where you used to be, you wrote a check. Okay. You have.
You're finding dog food for $20? Poor dog.
I have two small dogs that don't cost me very much, as opposed to the monstrous dogs that you have to feed them 60 pounds of food a day.
Not a day, but.
Okay. Yeah. A month. So anyway,
the 20 threw me.
But my dogs are tiny.
They are.
They only eat a half a cup at a time. Not that tiny. But you're right. It is overwhelming, because you do look at your bank statement and you're like, whoa, boom, 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 boom. Look at all these transactions mm-hmm. when, and it's 4 pages long, because you don't. It's like, oh, I'll use my credit card. I don't have to pay for it that way. You know, but you are.
Yeah, you're paying for it.
It's
yeah.
coming straight out
and
of
if you're
your
using
account.
Your debit card, it gets
boom. It's
you
gone.
Get way. It gets way out ahead of you.
Yeah.
Without realizing it, and I like to use cash because mm-hmm. that way I'm keeping track of it more. Mm-hmm. But some places you can't use cash.
Yeah, that's become more of a problem.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back in the 80s and 90s, people would get their paychecks. They would take out a certain amount of cash yep. to budget for a week or 2 weeks. And when they would go around and they were interested in buying something, they would, you know, look at how much cash they had on hand. I'm mm-hmm. like, I can't afford that. I'm not going to do
right.
that. Now with credit cards and, you know, digital payments, everyone's like, oh, I know I've got money in my bank account. Yeah, I'll just spend it.
It's no longer do I need it. It's I want it.
Yeah.
And therefore yeah. I shall have it.
And remember when we used to balance our checkbooks and not mm-hmm. just take a look at the balance every day to make sure, like you said, it's not zero?
Right.
Like, people don't do that anymore. And I'll tell you what, Community State Bank down here put on the most fabulous program. And I don't know if they've done it for the last couple of years. It's called My Life. And it's where all the students, I think it's sophomores and juniors, perhaps juniors and seniors, but whatever. We went to Badger. And everybody had a table. So, like, housing was one table. And I always occupied the table that was entertainment and pets. And you had insurance. You had car payments. You had the military. You had childcare. You had all the different facets of life. And you were given a piece of paper that told you what your life was. So you were either married or single with kids, and you came with pets, or you were allowed to buy pets. And, you know, they had to make choices, and they had to write. They started out with this income. They knew what they made every month, and you had to go, and everybody made something different. Everybody had different occupations, and, you know, some people were unemployed. Some people were in the military. Some people were single. Some people were married. And everybody's, quote, life on that piece of paper was different. And they had to go around to the different tables and buy what they had to have. Then with the money left over, if they had any, they could do, you know, like I said, half of my table was entertainment and the other half was pets. You also, if you came to my table as pets and you had a pet, you had to roll the dice. And if you got a certain number on the dice, you had a pet emergency, right?
Yeah.
And a pet emergency is $200, and that's minimum, quite frankly. That's, you know, and so anyway.
To try 2,000, yeah.
Right.
I was gonna say, this is not real.
Well, no, it wasn't real. But I worked, my friend Shelley worked at the table with me 1 year, and I did pets, and she did the entertainment side. And entertainment meant, you know, like video games, movies, dinner dates, you know, whatever. You had a choice, and they had different values listed. So this boy comes up and says, and she says, okay, well, how much money do you have? And, you know, are you married? And he said, and he looks at his paper and he said, yeah, I have a wife and, you know, 2 kids. And he said, and she said, okay, well, this is what the different things cost. And he said, and she said, oh, you're married and you have 2 kids. You're going to need to take your wife out to dinner at least once a month. Just trust me. Like, this is everyday life, right? You're supposed to be teaching them about life, right?
Yeah.
And he said, no. No, I'm just going to skip that. And she goes, okay, well, the divorce attorney's over at the other table. Mm-hmm. So but she's right. You know, it's like, yeah. This is really trying to teach real life things. Every school should have that day.
It
only took us like a morning, right? 2 or 3 hours. But the kids would say, holy cow, like this is, we had no idea. And they actually had to use a check register and they actually had to add and subtract and do all those things. One of the things that they did have was investments, but it's hard to get into that with the younger crowd. Like you said, 25 years old is about the time to start thinking about it, right?
That's ideal. That would be ideal to start. I mean, even earlier, if you're 15, right. If you're in high school, you should be learning about household budgeting. And even though I'm the investment manager for Stackstone and my specialty is to run our portfolios and our investment strategies, and it's great that if I can add more performance to your portfolio and grow and to help you accumulate wealth in a more effective and quicker manner. Sometimes, and actually much of the time, working with a client on their household budget can have more of an impact than anything else you do. Because think about this, if we work on your household budget, we help you get rid of debt faster.
Right.
And then we help free up cash flow where you can do an extra $100 a month into your investment account over the course of 30 years. And what that creates at the end of the rainbow someday when you retire or when you pass away. So it all begins there. It begins with your household budgeting, your cash flow, the money coming in, the money going out, how we find efficiencies there. The investments are great, but everything needs to be, you know, starting at the foundational level. It needs to start with your personal household budgeting and your cash flow. As cash flow is king, that's where everything kind of starts and ends with your life and your financial status and how you grow over time. You can only invest if you have the cash flow to invest. And so I really focus on that when I'm working with a client, you know, individually. I'm really focused on that first. And then let's talk about what investment strategy makes sense with what you have to work with. And sometimes people come to me and, you know, they want to invest with me. And I say, hey, let's pump the brakes. There are some other things here that need to be addressed first before we get into investments.
Right.
That'll actually make your investment results 20 years, 30 years down the road a lot better if we address these fundamental things first.
And it's a long-term self-care issue, really. I mean, because starting out early, 25, 30 years old, you get to your mid-50s and you have some kind of, you know, physical issue or some kind of problem, you have cushion where, I mean, you're not blindsided by some kind of financial, you know, breakdown in your life that you can't sort of
solve, right?
You know, you've got nothing.
Stuck.
And so, and just putting your money in the bank is never going to make you any money. That's for sure. Never. So you have to, and it's not hard and it's not expensive, right? Because I think that's what people think is that you have to be rich to start with somebody like Greg here. And that's not true.
No. I mean, we have people come in and we meet with people on a free consultation basis. And sometimes just in that one meeting where they're coming in and we're getting to know them, maybe right now they're not the right fit or at the right place in life to have an investment management relationship with us. But we can sit down and go over their situation and go over what's going on in their life and provide a ton of value just in a free consultation meeting where we can help them get on the right track. You know, they're not where they want to be right now, but we can give them some information. And I always tell people, you know, reach out to me anytime, you know, if you've got questions about, you know, what's going on with your financial life and certain decisions that you're trying to make that have financial implications, feel free to reach out to me anytime and I'll be there to help you. And, you know, that's just kind of, you know, the good karma, putting that out there. And, you know, you hope that if you help people, you're just doing good in society in general. But sometimes those people come back to you years later and they're at a very different place and things have really improved for them. And at that point, they're able to have an investment management relationship with us and, you know, really get into the weeds with their financial planning and planning out their retirement down the road, planning out exciting things like buying a vacation home or a boat, stuff like that.
Right.
And that's where things get exciting. But sometimes, you know, you just have to, you know, start somewhere. And it's better to start somewhere than to never start at all.
Well, you're right, because, I mean, that initial consultation is either going to tell you, yes, I need Stackstone now, or this is how I get on the path to needing Stack Stone shortly or eventually. So why wouldn't you call and go in and talk to you guys and find out where you stand, right?
Absolutely. There's nothing but gain there.
Right.
For coming in.
And it's free.
You're not gonna lose anything. You have nothing to lose by doing that. At the very least, you're gonna walk away with some very helpful points of advice that you can take away and apply to your life to create a financial benefit and quality of life benefit for yourself and your family. And so there's just nothing to lose by doing that.
Right.
Well, and the simplest little thing can change your future, too.
Well, yeah.
It really can. Little things can have a massive, massive difference. Mm-hmm. Sometimes just helping somebody figure out how to pay off their debt faster and get rid of that high interest debt servicing where they're just throwing money down the drain every month on interest and just help them. Here's a few pointers of how to get rid of that a lot quicker.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it'll free up your cash flow. And then all of a sudden you'll be able to put more into your 401k. Mm-hmm.
And then, you're rich.
And all of a sudden you have way more cushion than you would have ever had. I mean, over the course of 10 years, I can pile up to, you know, $20, $50, $100,000 of extra net worth that provides extra cushion for an emergency, that provides additional pursuit of opportunities down the road.
Travel.
Travel. I mean, I love to travel, but it's incredibly expensive.
It's incredibly expensive, but so are credit card interest rates, and so are loan interest rates, and so are.
It used to be always get your savings account built up. Build up your savings account. But you're making, what, half a penny?
Yeah, maybe.
You need
the interest is ridiculous.
You still need emergency cash reserves, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And you should have some in there. Mm-hmm. But it's more important to get the credit cards paid off because some of those things are up to 40% almost. Mm-hmm.
The credit cards are why you're not saving more.
Right.
So you need emergency cash reserves, but we need to strike a balance. You know, if you've got some high interest debt hanging over you and it's just not going away, you're not bringing your balances down. Okay, let's be a little bit more conservative on our travel budget this year. Let's pull back on how much we're putting into savings, maybe for a temporary period of time. Let's pay off that debt so that a year from now, the conversation's very different. You're putting way more into savings now because that interest is gone.
Right.
It's incredible. People, again, nickel and dime effect. You don't realize how much is going out little by little by little by little that you don't have to be paying.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to find out more, Greg, how do we get in touch with you?
Well, best way to get in touch with us is just to call us directly at 262-728-4000. You can also visit us online. Just go on the good old Mr. Google search engine and type in Stack Stone Wealth. And we've got a really, really great team of specialists. And we have multiple offices in our region here. Right here in Lake Geneva is where myself, Kelly, and Alicia are based out of. Mm-hmm. And we have our home office in Dubuque, Iowa, right on the Mississippi there. About a 2.5-hour drive from here. And then we have another office in Rockford. So we're all over the region. We've got a team of 24 people that really work well together. And you know, we support one another and support all of our clients as a team. And it's just great to have that deep of a bench of different people that you can lean on for very specific strategies and very specific client needs. And sometimes, you know, a client will come to me and there's a situation that, I haven't really dealt with that situation in 4 or 5 years. And I'll go to our specialist, Rick, for instance, and ask him, hey, what's changed in the laws? What's changed in the solutions that are available for this particular need? And Rick is just there to help me out and provide that value to the client for the entire strategy. So we have a really, really comprehensive and large team to support all of our clients and all of their needs and goals.
You should definitely go. No matter your age, no matter your income level, no matter what you think, and find out what you need to do. Like, where should you start? And it's, again, really very simple. 262-728-4000. Just ask for Greg.
Got plenty of time.
We'll get you to the right place.
He will get you to the right place. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We very much appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Nancy and Tom.
Thanks for coming in.
No problem. We'll talk to you in a couple months and get more updates.
Sounds good.
All right. The rest of Life Matters is coming up next, right after this, on Lake 96.1.
Life Matters continues on Lake 96.1.
Welcome back to Life Matters. I had to send my husband out of town. I spent far too much time with him lately. He hasn't traveled for a while, and that'll wear on a marriage.
That's what I hear. I try to go out of town at least a couple times a year. And it's definitely more fun on a motorcycle, so.
Yeah, I sent
him. That's the way to go.
Well, he's with his brothers and his college buddy.
Well, that's perfect. No bad things could happen.
No, what could go wrong?
Nothing.
Right? Nothing. So he's at this motorcycle rally thing and that they've been going to for 30 years or something, or probably longer.
Cool.
And I said, what would you like in your suitcase? I found one more of the notes, the 21 notes. So I'm up to...
Oh, so you're up to 19.
19, yeah. There's still two.
Where was that at?
It was on a... Because, you know, me being the astute designer that I am, have these three little sign things on the wall that say live, love, laugh, whatever it is.
Right.
You know, which is my son-in-law's least favorite phrase or sentiment.
Okay.
You're right. So I make sure I leave it up. And then, just to annoy Nick. And then, so one of them was stuck. But then there's a kind of right next to it, there's a coat hanger thing. And Ty had a big coat hanging right there. And so it was kind of hidden behind it. Yeah. So I found it the other day.
Well, you can't be upset about that one. It's on, you know, the coat hanger.
Gift that keeps on giving. Anyway.
Still a funny story.
It is. So I said at the beginning of the show we were going to talk a little bit about gaslighting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the things that going forward with the new Harris ? Ticket in the election that we're going to be facing and that people will have to make choices about, I want you to really think hard and trust your gut on some things. I want people to remember that gaslighting means somebody has told you something over and over and over again until you just finally give up and believe it.
They used to call it lying.
Yeah. Well, it is lying.
Yeah, pretty much.
And
my father used to say that if you told the same lie enough, it became a truth because even you believed it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So people still believe that former President Trump, in a speech, said, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath. That is 100% not what he said. He was talking about the car industry. He was talking about the automobile manufacturers and the electric mandates that the government has put on these manufacturers. And that if those mandates were taken any steps further than what they already are, that the result of the auto industry being forced into making and selling a certain number of electric cars, battery operated cars, whatever, that the auto industry would become a bloodbath. There would be a bloodbath in the auto industry.
Mm-hmm.
I am telling you this. I know it to be true because when he was making the speech, I was watching it live. It was on television.
Okay.
Plus, it's on YouTube. You can go and you can search. He was specifically talking about the auto industry. As recent as just the other day, that Jerry Nadler guy, I'm pretty sure that's what his name is. He's the Democrat that he's little short, kind of stout guy, and he's just vile. In what he says, as recent as just the other day, before the hearing of before his statement before the Secret Service, the head of Secret Service interview, or the next day, I can't remember which day it was, he said in his speech, if Trump doesn't get elected, he's already said that this country is going to be a bloodbath or is facing a bloodbath. That is 100% not what he said. And people can say over and over and over and over again that that's what Trump said. And eventually you start to believe it.
Right.
That is not what he said. They are lying to you.
As usual.
Just like they were lying to you when they told you that Joe Biden was fit to handle 4 more years in the White House.
I don't think he was fit to handle the first 4 years.
Well, probably not.
But no, the lies keep coming. And then the liars say that the other people are lying.
Right. And the fact is that they have told you over and over and over and over again that he's just fine. And nobody's buying, oh, from Saturday night to Sunday morning, I decided maybe I should pass the torch. That's not true. So
no.
Harris.
Especially when it was just a few days before that, he said, I am not dropping out of this race.
Right. So now we've got Kamala Harris, who has lied to the American public, because if nobody should know better about the president's state of mind, health, anything than his wife.
Right.
The second person that should be on top of this is the vice president.
Well, yeah, if she's involved.
She knows.
Well, they all know. They all know. Just how involved has she been in anything? You know what I mean? I'm not making excuses for her, and I totally agree with you. It's just that name comes up, and I think, first of all, who is she and what has she done?
Nothing.
Yeah, she had one job.
Right.
And we all know that got screwed
even,
up.
Yeah. So, you know, she in the beginning, she talked about, doing the humane thing and getting to the, quote, root cause of why people are fleeing the countries and that they're fleeing and trying to help the countries get to the point where people wouldn't want to leave. And she never did any of that.
No.
Never did
secure the border,
any
nothing.
Of that. Right?
Opened up the gates.
Right.
Let them all in.
Right. So, and then went for months and months saying to the public, he's fine, he's fine, he's fine, when we could see for our very own eyes that he's not.
Right.
And again, he's a victim of elder abuse. Like, he has
no idea
what's happening.
Carried and guided and preloaded.
Enabled.
Yeah.
Enabled. Right.
I think that video of him trying to climb the stairs to Air Force One.
And falling 2 or 3 times.
Oh, my God. As brutal as that is to watch. Mm-hmm. And I'm only saying that because here's an elderly person.
Yeah.
Struggling to go up the stairs.
And nobody runs up the stairs
nobody
to help him.
Nobody goes to help him.
Right.
And everybody lies and says, oh, he's doing fine. He is not doing fine. Mm-hmm. And we all trip going up the stairs from time to time. But that many times, mm-hmm. he looked like he was hammered. And I don't think he was intoxicated.
Oh, gosh, no.
You could see the deterioration. And
yeah.
It obviously
and
has
you
not
know what?
Gotten better.
Both of my parents, my mom especially, suffered from dementia. And it comes on here and there, it comes on here and there, and then boom.
Yep.
It's here.
Yep.
And that's probably what happened. But it's okay to be honest with the American people. Like, that's so much more respectful to him to be honest
right.
and say, you know, this isn't, he's not dumb, he's not stupid, his health is failing.
Yeah.
And that's not unexpected.
No.
You know, it's like when they say somebody passed away unexpectedly suddenly at the age of 105. No.
No.
They had 105 years expecting this to happen. Right.
Well, one of the scary things is I teach crisis management at the academy. And I mentioned there's a section about dementia.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked the class, does anybody know of or have any family members that have battled or are battling dementia? And everybody's hand goes up every time.
Yeah.
Everybody knows about it. My father suffered from it. I don't think anybody in this country has not been exposed to it. So
no.
Why wouldn't you just say, this is what's happening?
Right. He's a human being.
Right.
I mean, he's a human being.
Yeah.
And just like everybody that came out and said things really, really stupid, nasty, horrible, horrible things about too bad the shooter missed Trump and things like that.
Yeah.
Hey, he's a human being too.
Right.
Okay. So,
and this should have nothing to do with politics or your side versus their side.
Nope.
You know, people picking on Biden's health, you know, picking on him because of his health issues, that's wrong too.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's a shame what that man's going through, and it's a shame what his family is putting him through.
Well, it's like I said, now he's spent probably, he's toward the end of his life, and now he's spent it under stress and duress and everything else, instead of spending it with his grandkids. Like, because you're power hungry. And,
right.
You know, yeah.
And
but
he looked lost so many times.
He does. It's just sad. So anyway, so he's out of the picture, and that's great and everything. But look, first of all, don't think by any stretch of the imagination that Kamala's got this wrapped up. Okay?
No, but don't think she doesn't have a chance either.
I don't think she has a chance to win. I do not think she has a chance
to win. I hope
you're
right. My concern is that
Concerned about ballot box stuffing and stuff.
People just kind of back off now because we got it in the bag. We got
nothing.
We have nothing
in
the bag.
Don't take it for
granted. This is a fight. This is going to be a fight till the end.
I'm saying that the attempted assassination on Donald Trump lit a fire under Republicans so that they won't sit at home and think that it's okay.
That's what
I'm going off of. But let's go back to very quickly, because Mike's going to yell at me about being too long with the show.
We do it all the time. You should get used to it by now.
I don't know why he yells at me. But they are trying to tell you that Donald Trump is behind this Project 2025 thing. Okay? And you're going to hear that over and over and over again, that it's Trump's people that wrote it, that it's Trump's people, that it's Trump, 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 Trump. And it is not. It is 100% not Donald Trump, or backed by Donald Trump, okay? First of all, he doesn't exactly know what's in it. He admitted that on television the other night. His words. I'm not really sure what's in it. I haven't read it. He did not write this. There are some things that are, you know, normal Republican conservative type thoughts and issues and everything. And then there's some stuff that's just really stupid. Okay? But even the people behind Project 2025 say, we are not affiliated with former President Trump. We are a coalition of more than 110 conservative groups advocating for policy and personnel recommendations. Okay? So when the left or the media tells you that he is behind this and keeps saying it over and over and over and over again, just like they said that, you know, all these other conspiracies or all these other things weren't true, or that Trump said there's going to be a bloodbath, which he did not say. Please remember that just because somebody repeats something to you over and over and over again, that does not make it true.
Yeah. And it's lying season.
Oh,
you're hearing stuff. Do a little bit of research. Find out the truth.
Right. Right. So, you know, just please understand as you go through the rest of this election cycle that you are going to be hammered with repetition. But if your gut says, that doesn't sound right. Like, really? Who would say that? Why would you? Then trust your gut. Just trust your gut.
Right.
You know, liberal or conservative, Republican, Democrat, extreme, not extreme, whatever. You know in your gut when something's right and when it's not.
Yeah.
And usually when you don't trust your gut, when you second guess your instincts, you screw up.
Yep, usually.
Everybody knows that.
Mm-hmm.
So just please understand, gaslighting is a thing. And just because they're
saying
it
is.
Doesn't mean it's true.
Right. Right.
Right. All right. That was my moral of the story for this week.
A good moral. A good story.
Anyway, you know what's coming up?
Probably more music.
More music.
Would be my guess.
It is. More music right here on Lake 96.1. We'll see you next week.